Good evening. It is almost 5 o'clock in room 15 of the Capitol. This is the Senate Environment Natural Resources Budget Division. And the first bill that is going to be heard today is Senate File 2818, Senator Ellen Anderson.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Senator Anderson, I told us a fourth engrossment.
Yes, and we have an amendment, Mr. Chair and members. This bill has gone through many iterations on its way to this committee, and we have one more amendment we'd like to offer. We've had a lot of work has been done by Mr. Grant from the Isaac Walton League and Mike Robertson from the Chamber of Commerce, who have spent some more time going through the study language. Members, this bill, it's called the Green Solutions Act, and it relates to the cap and trade. And I'll just say briefly that, as you will recall, the governor has signed a Midwest greenhouse gas reduction agreement with 5 other Midwestern states and the province of Manitoba. He is intending, or the agreement states their intention to negotiate a Midwestern cap and trade agreement, and that process is already underway. And this bill is an effort to have some involvement and discussion with that process as it moves forward. So essentially what the bill does in this form is more or less three things. It appoints a group of legislators who are appointed for the purpose of following the process, for participating in meetings if they're able to, or at least being able to be part of the discussion with the stakeholders that are appointed by the governor to negotiate on his behalf. He's appointed 4 stakeholders, 2 of whom are at the table with me, to represent Minnesota in the negotiations along with governor's staff. And so we ask that a bipartisan group of legislators be appointed in the House and Senate to travel along with that process and offer advice to that process as it moves forward. We also have a substantive statement on page 2, line 18 and 19, that any cap and trade agreement that is negotiated is not effective until it's actually enacted into law by the legislature. So it wouldn't be something that could be done by executive order or just by signature of the governor. That the legislature needs to be part of this discussion. If a cap and trade moves forward, it needs to be negotiated, discussed, debated, and passed by the legislature in the future. The other main part of the bill is for some various studies. We put in place, we have a report that asks for studies about the costs and benefits of a cap and trade program, and if there were any revenues collected from the program, how those would be used, and how those expenditures would be governed. So we have the work that's been done by Mr. Grant and Mr. Robertson over the past few weeks has been to further refine what goes into these studies, which will be the results of which will be reported back to the legislature next session. And what we're doing is setting up these studies so that the Midwest Governors Association, which is working with some consultant groups, will do these studies as part of their overall work with the Midwest governors and the various states involved. So let me just leave it at that. Is there anything? Did you want to say anything? Okay. This amendment, we can go through the amendment line by line if members would like. And essentially, this is just the final agreement on what the studies will consist of. Most of it is just clarifying language. And we make it clear that the study of governance should be separated out from the analysis that's done by the Midwestern consultants, the Midwestern Governors Association consultants. That's something that should be done in Minnesota, either by the University of Minnesota or perhaps even by Senate Research and Council. We're still discussing that. Let me find my engrossment, page 3. Oh, and the amendment, so the amendment makes that clear. The amendment also, it makes a number of technical changes to the wording, separates out the governance study, and it also changes the appropriation. We did have this originally, the bill, well, the last few iterations of the bill have had an assessment on utilities to pay for it, and we've changed that and come up with a more, well, with a revenue source that I think is more acceptable to everybody, and that is to use grants that were appropriated in last year's legislature by this committee, which are research grants on next-generation energy issues that were given to the Department of Commerce, and that's where the funding for the studies would come from. So it fits very well in line with the purposes of those grant programs to research progress and issues related to energy in the future.
Senator Anderson, I'm told that we've registered a quorum here. Would you like to move the A-17 then?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I would move the A-17 amendment.
Senator Anderson's moved the A-17 amendment to Senate File 2818. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Chair, I'm in the form that this bill is in, I'm not aware of opposition to it. So I would urge members to support it and move it to the floor.
Is there any other discussion or testimony from out in the audience?
Mr. Chair.
Okay, any questions from the
Chair, Senator Vickerman? Senator Anderson, where are you getting the money from?
Mr. Chair, Senator Vickerman, last year we gave some grant money to the Department of Commerce to do research on next-generation energy issues. So we're taking it out of some of that grant money because that's intended for energy research through Commerce, not through your department, but through the Commerce Department. There's also next-generation energy grants in the Ag Department. But this would take some of the commerce money, and it's just a small portion of the funding. So we've discussed this with Director Garvey, and he's amenable to this as well.
Other questions,
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Mr. Knopf.
Senator Anderson, I was wondering on the amendment on 1.35. It says up to 500,000 must be used, and it's just. When you say up to and then must, it seems to be a little bit contradictory. I mean, not contradictory, but it's not clear how much money they're going to be spending on this. I was wondering what you're trying to do, as I understand it, is just to allow them to be able to use up to $500,000 for this. I was thinking if you just deleted must be used and insert is, so it'd be up to $500,000 is for the economic impact
that's
study.
That's fine. Mr. Chair, Mr. Knopf, I think that's a good suggestion.
Senator. You move that must be used be taken out and is?
Yep.
Inserted? Okay. Any other discussion by the committee? If not, all in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Anything else? Any other discussion?
And, Mr. Chair, again, I think most of the work that we've been doing in the last few weeks on this have been focusing on the information that we really need and the analysis we need of what the impact of a regional cap and trade would be on our economy, on our environment, on our economic development in this state. And I think all sides to the issue agree that having this detailed analysis of those questions is critically important as we move forward. So I'm really glad to have a consensus on that. So I would move that Senate File 2818 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the floor. Finance Committee.
Senate File 2818 as amended be passed and moved to the full Finance Committee. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Anderson.
Moving forward. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
But in the meantime, we probably reached agreements on some things where nobody's really happy with.
All right. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have Senate File 3331.
It's very true.
And I do have an amendment, but it wouldn't be an author's amendment, so I can present the bill and then present the amendment. I mean, it is an amendment from me, but this is not the first hearing this bill has had.
Do we have it? Should we pass that out? Do we have it in
sure,
front of us?
Sure, it's the A1 right? amendment.
Okay, let's
it's one
at
word.
Least get that in front of us. Oh, it's very long. Yeah. Complicated.
It would insert, Madam Chair, the word public in front of park on line 17, public park purposes.
It's getting really hard to hear in this room. The acoustics are not good, so I'd ask people to take their conversations outside, please, so we can get our work done in a timely fashion. Okay, Senator Dibble, on line 1, or line 17, after 4, it would insert the word public. Okay, do you want to explain the bill, and you can incorporate that in your discussion
sure.
of the bill?
Sure,
and then
Madam
we'll
Chair.
Discuss the amendment.
Madam Chair, Senate File 3331 has to do with the Park Board, Minneapolis Park Board land, which is a part of the regional park system. And just as a quick reminder to members, there is no such thing as a Metropolitan Council Park Agency. The regional parks are parts of parks that are owned and operated by local park jurisdictions, and parts of those parks are designated as part of the regional park system. And so this is land on the riverfront underneath the I-35W bridge that is being acquired through condemnation by MnDOT. Because the bridge, of course, the bridge footprint is being expanded, and so this is land underneath the bridge, which MnDOT would need to own and control for their purposes. This land had originally been acquired through bond proceeds made available by the state to the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board for the purpose of adding to the regional park system. Typically, when property is sold, that has been acquired through bond proceeds. The proceeds from the sale of that property would go to the general fund. What this bill would do is to ask that those proceeds be retained by the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board for the purpose of acquiring, to keep those resources in the same area for the same purpose, to acquire property on the river to add to the regional park system. So the regional park system, the original purpose of those resources, the regional park system, all are continue to be kept whole. With that, Madam Chair, I have Brian Rice, who represents the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, who can add to my testimony.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Rice, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Brian Rice. I'm the attorney for the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board and also represent them in front of this legislative body. Just to amplify quickly on Senator Dibble's comments, the Minneapolis Park Board owned land under the I-35W bridge, and as you're all aware, that bridge collapsed on August 1st of last year. In determining whether and how to rebuild the bill, MnDOT decided to create a bigger footprint for the bridge, so they widened it. And there's a handout that's been passed around, a colored sheet on green, and it's two pages. The first page shows the expansion of the bridge to the south towards the 10th Avenue Bridge. It's about 2 acres of land. MnDOT's footprint for the new bridge will be larger in that direction. And the second page, it will also expand its footprint to the actually, that would be to the west or further upstream towards downtown. The Park Board is the fee owner of the land downstream, and under the Federal Highway Administration rules for interstate property, the state has to own fee interest in the land over which the interstate travels. And so MnDOT is in the process of condemning the land. The Park Board has been totally cooperative with MnDOT and with the reconstruction. We made available the Bohemian Flats property and other property adjacent for the reconstruction of the site. It would have been our right under 4F of the Federal Transportation Act to object and ask for stuff, but we understand the enormity of this project and the importance of getting it rebuilt. So MnDOT began a condemnation proceeding against the Park Board, and we're not contesting that proceeding. It started. MnDOT has obtained title to the land. We're not objecting to the valuation they put on it. The one issue is under state law that's cited in Senator Dibble's bill, that ordinarily, as Senator Dibble said, that if we sold property, with bond finance property, if the person who had the property went out and sold the property to another party, you'd have to return any proceeds of that sale to the general fund. In this case, we're not selling the property. It's being taken from us. We'd like to keep the parkland, and what we're proposing in the bill is that the proceeds come into the park board, and then on page 1, line 16, the sentence is really what we would do with it, is the parkland acquisition account must be used solely to acquire land for, and the amendment would be, public park purposes adjacent to the Mississippi River in Minneapolis. Lands acquired from the account must be included in the Metro Regional Recreation Space Open System and are subject to the provisions of 16A 695 and laws governing metropolitan regional parkland. So what we're proposing under this is basically a no net loss of parkland, that we would take the money that the federal government is giving us for the land, we turn around and buy other replacement parkland adjacent to the river. It would still be subject to all the same rules that are now, that we couldn't go out and sell it without basically state permission, nor would we. That's not our intent. We'd simply have a no net loss policy on riverfront land along the river. I do know, just to conclude my comments, the finance department has looked at this. They were the ones who suggested the amendment that Senator Dibble had to make this clear, that it's public park land and there's no fiscal impact to the state. They're saying as long as we would continue to use it for park purposes, there's no state or local fiscal impact, although it would allow us to keep the funds rather than sending it to the state and back.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I think we're talking about a valuation of about $700,000+.
$741,000.
Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Have we put your amendment on here yet, Senator Dibble?
No. Senator Vickerman, if you'd like to move it.
I'd move that so we... I'm looking at my watch, and I'm not going to stay here till 7 o'clock.
Okay.
I'll move that adoption, you know, just public if you want.
Senator Vickerman, are you moving the A1 amendment? We need to adopt that. Okay. On the motion, any further discussion on the A1 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Vickerman, did you want to move the bill?
Madam Chair, show you the interest that rural and metro has. I'm going to move the bill.
All right.
Way to go. Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File 3331, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to finance. Is there any further discussion? Would anyone else like to be heard on the bill? All right. Hearing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. Thank you, committee, for moving things quickly. Many of these bills on the agenda we've already heard and more or less adopted. We're just going to take them off the table and send them on their way. So, but we do have a little bit of discussion. Senator Fredrickson's bill is a new bill. There you are. Sure, we can take that. Oh, they're all sitting there. Sure, let's go with Senator Olson, because yours is a standalone bill. Members. Senator Saxhog moves to take Senate File 2943 from the table. Senator Olson's bill was laid on the table. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. All right. Senate File 2943 is before us. Members, you'll remember this is Senator Olson's Star Lake proposal, which we did incorporate the whole bill, including the appropriation, into the finance bill, which we've already passed. And Senator Olson would like an opportunity to take the non-appropriation. Does she have to take the appropriation out?
Mm-hmm.
The non-appropriation part of the bill to the Senate floor, so that she can discuss it as a policy bill. And so we need to have a motion to take out the appropriation language, which is Section 5 of the bill.
So moved.
Senator Saxhog moves to delete Section 5 of the bill. On that, any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. And then, Senator Saxhog, would you move the bill?
I would. Madam Chair, I would move that Senate File 2943, as amended, be sent on to the Finance Committee, full finance.
On that motion, members, remember, we already passed it. So,
Madam Chair, I just wanted to make a clarification. There's an A7 amendment in the packet. It was an oral amendment of Senator Box to this bill, and that's already included in the bill. I just want to make sure that the A7, even though it was moved as an oral amendment, just to clarify what's here.
Oh, okay, so we adopted the amendment. Yes. All right. Is there any further discussion on Senator Saxhog's motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Olson.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. So just for my purposes, for clarification, so the body or the policy language, does that move forward on its own to the floor now?
Yes, but it has to stop in the full finance committee.
Okay.
So that's where you are next. You need to talk to Senator Cohen about getting a hearing in his committee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members.
All right. We have the same situation with Senator Saxon. Okay. Senator Dibble, why don't we bring you up to do Senate File 3096, and then we can take care of Senator Rosen's bill at the same time. We need your bill in front of us. We're going to amend her bill onto your bill, correct? Oh. Oh, so we're not quite ready to take up you two as a team there. So then let's go to Senator Fredrickson. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, I was expecting somebody from the Department of Natural Resources
Mr. Myers
to be here, and here he is.
Huh?
And I do, after the discussion of the bill, I do have one amendment I want to offer also, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Senate File 3056 deals with what happens to the proceeds when the Department of Natural Resources sells administrative sites around the state. They currently have 182 different administrative sites around the state. They are working to consolidate those offices for more efficient operation and also for cost-effective office space. And what Senate File 2056 does is establishes a new facilities management account. And when they sell administrative facilities within the Outdoor Recreation Act, this will allow, bill will allow them to take those monies and reuse them, reemploy them within the administrative sites that the department has. The current process, the money is deposited into a land acquisition account, and the money can only be used then for land acquisition. This would facilitate them consolidating and becoming more efficient with their administrative sites. Madam Chair, that's a very brief explanation of the bill. Mr. Meyer is here if you have questions of us.
All right. Thank you, Senator Fredrickson. Are there questions? Senator Saxhog.
Madam Chair, the A2 amendment.
All right. Senator Fredrickson, is this the amendment you were referring to?
I think it is. Is this the one with the environmental learning centers?
No, this is about
Cloquet.
I guess there's two amendments. All right. Go ahead, Senator Saxhog. Would you like to?
Madam Chair, I think there is some additional discussion about this amendment. Maybe we should hold off with the Cloquet one.
All right.
I don't know, is Senator Lori here yet? But we were just in some discussions with him.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, a question for council, I guess. Is this money then statutorily appropriated to the commissioner so the legislature is never going to know what this money is spent on?
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, yes, that is the case. It's not that you would never know, but you won't see it as a direct appropriation. The money is statutorily appropriated, though, under current law. We're not changing that status of this money. It's going to be statutorily appropriated under another account. But if you look under current law, from the changes that are made in Section 2, whenever they sell land, money goes into this natural resources land account, and it's appropriated to the commissioner for that purpose. I guess you don't see the language here. But it is, I think it's in another subdivision within this section. And it's already appropriated under current law, but only they can only spend it on lands that are part of the outdoor recreation system. And what this does is just change for certain types of sales when they're selling buildings and facilities that they can spend it to acquire buildings and facilities. They don't have to acquire outdoor recreation land with the money. But it is statutorily appropriated under current law, the same money. So it doesn't change the status of the appropriation of the money, only what they can spend it on.
Madam Chair, I've always resisted giving the commissioner statutory spending authority. I just think the committee, I mean, if the commissioner has a good idea, he should be able to come back here and convince this committee that that's a good use for the money. He shouldn't just be able to overrun Lafayette over there, be able to sell state assets and turn around and reinvest them in something else without this committee knowing about it. But maybe this chair thinks different about it than I did. But
no, I think you make a good point, Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, there's a history behind the reason it was done this way, because the legislature kept spending it on parks. And this was supposed to be an incentive for the agency to offer up lands for sale. Senator Frederickson may remember this too. Originally, this money was sat in the account until the legislature appropriated the money. Well, the legislature usually swept the account clean to spend it on parks or other high-profile items. And the commissioner came in a number of years ago, I don't remember the exact year, and asked for the statutory appropriation so that each division had an incentive to bring forward lands that they'd want to sell, because then each division then would be able to use the money to acquire lands to replace those lands. And so that's why the statutory appropriation for the current land acquisition account, kind of that's how it came into being, was it more of an incentive for the divisions within DNR to do this. But it is, I mean, at one point, it wasn't a statutory appropriation prior to that. But again, the legislature usually just spent it on some high-profile items. And then divisions within DNR had no incentive to bring forward lands to sell. That didn't make sense for the state to own anymore.
So, Mr. Knopf, Madam Chair, Mr. Knopf.
Senator Bach.
Is it more than buildings? Is it land also?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the current law is land, any lands by the DNR. If you look at Section 2, and you don't see the appropriation in here, but basically, anytime the DNR sells lands, the money, unless it's school trust land or something like that, but any of the actual DNR, the state-owned lands, the money goes into this land acquisition account in the Natural Resources Fund, and it can be used to acquire additional land that's going to be part of the outdoor recreation system. So basically, it's pretty broad, but it doesn't include facilities. The new language you see in Section 1. Is allowing them to spend the money from the sales for that. So it's current law, it's all DNR lands. This is just segregating off a portion where it's a facility they're selling and not just like parkland, forest land, wildlife management area land, and saying that if it's facility land, then it's going to go into this facilities management account and to be spent on facilities rather than new parts of the outdoor recreation system.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm curious,
Senator
because
Bach.
The governor said recently, as it relates to the Vermilion State Park, that he doesn't need the whole $40 million from the legislature because he has other options available to free up money to buy the Vermilion land. And I'm just wondering what authority we've given the commissioner to sell off, maybe Senator Saxog will sell off the Itasca State Park and privatize it so we can buy Vermilion. I mean, I'm uncomfortable with the notion that the commissioner has the authority to just statutorily buy and sell things without this committee knowing about it.
Well,
that won't come as new to anybody that's been on this committee during my tenure here.
And
Mr.
Chair, Senator Bach, that's under current law. Mm-hmm. And you would see it if you look at the Natural Resource Fund statement every year. I mean, those transactions are going to be part of the Natural Resources Fund statement. But you're right; they won't have to come in for an appropriation to acquire the land with the money that they receive from sales.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Knopf, the governor under current law does have the authority to sell a state park or something, privatize it, as long as it's not school trust fund land, and buy Vermilion.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Bach, not a state park. State park land cannot be sold unless you remove it from the boundaries of the state park. They're not allowed to sell state park land while it's within the boundaries of a state park. But there are other lands that can be sold by the state, and then that money would go into the land acquisition account and could be used to acquire other lands.
What about a WMA? I heard Mr. Meyer make a little bit of a threat the other day to sell some WMA land if we were too restrictive on it.
They do, Madam Chair, they do have the power to sell WMA land, although they are supposed to go through a vacation process to vacate the land as a WMA prior to sales. There is a statutory provision that was put in a number of years ago to do that.
Madam Chair, if I may just talk about the intent of the bill as we brought it forward. Several sessions ago, we established a facilities management account to help the divisions be more aware of the decisions they made about locations, the cost of running them, the energy requirements, the cost of computers, the cost of fleet, the cost of actually having an office someplace. We wanted to be able to charge them back those actual costs, put them in this facilities management account, and then pay those bills out of that account. What we're looking for in this change is to provide us the ability as we I'll use the example that we just talked about, the Cloquet Forestry Center. Our office in the city of Cloquet. The city of Cloquet is very interested in acquiring that building site, and we have a fenced-in storage area. They're looking at putting some big box retail in the city of Cloquet, and our office is right in the middle of that. For us to be able to move those people to a different spot, we need to be able to capture those costs and renovate or work with another local unit of government to have the facilities available for those employees to go into. The large acquisitions that we would do, if we ever did large acquisitions with these dollars, we would come back through the Department of Administration, through the legislature, and the bonding process to establish a new facility if we were to do that. What we're simply trying to do is where these revenues would be lost to the land acquisition account and not provide us an incentive to sell a facility or a site because we don't have the monies to buy a new site or refurbish a site perhaps. This will give us an incentive to consolidate our offices, so to speak, and to make sure that we're strategically located, reducing our, if you want to call it, carbon footprint, our gas consumption, our electrical consumption, the drive time to and from locations where people are working, to give us the tools to manage our workforce moving into the future.
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, I know I've read that Cabela's wants to open a store in the north, and I know Cloquet is one of the areas that they are considering. And this is the property that DNR is sitting on in Cloquet, right on Highway 33, is a valuable piece of land. It may sell for millions of dollars. I don't know. But it's a very valuable piece of land to somebody like a Cabela's store. And I'm just uncomfortable. And if the current law might give him that authority, but that tells me that the legislature once upon a time was right in not letting them sell off land. And some commissioner came and got it changed, but I'm still uncomfortable now that I know we're talking about selling Cloquet. I don't know if Senator Lowry might feel different than I, but.
Well, Senator Bach, I mean, I think you're making a very good point. I don't know that Senator Frederickson's bill does anything to make it, I don't think it makes it any different or any worse, but I hear what you're saying loudly and clearly, and I think the DNR does as well, so it's something to think about.
We've got some new members on the committee, Madam Chair, that I thought might want to know that a lot of money gets spent around here that this committee never sees.
Senator Frederickson?
Madam Chair, I was just going to say the intent of this is to allow the department to manage those 182 administrative sites, maybe to consolidate where it makes sense, maybe just to sell administrative sites where they no longer need them, to become more efficient, to make better use of the assets that they do have. That's all this does. And this allows some of that money from buildings and land to go into replacing those buildings and land. Very well, that I expect the money, if there is something developed around Cloquet, will go back into relocating another site within a very close vicinity of Cloquet. And I think that makes a lot of sense. We have to have some sense of trust with our agencies.
Okay. All right. Senator Fredrickson, you have an amendment?
I have an amendment.
Senator Saxhog, did you move the A2 amendment yet, or is that just sitting in front of us?
Madam Chair, my preference would be sitting in front of us for a minute.
For now. Okay, Senator Fredrickson.
The A2 amendment, my preference would be to just leave that on the table for a while, and I know there's discussions going on between Senator Lori and the department. Get some comfort before we would proceed with that. It kind of goes in the opposite direction of the bill. I do have another amendment for environmental learning centers I'd like to offer.
All right, well, let's get your amendment out here, Senator Fredrickson, and then
Madam,
I don't know if Senator Saxhog, you want to offer this to your bill?
I would, for the time being, I would honor Senator Fredrickson's wish.
All right. Do we have Senator Fredrickson's amendment?
Madam Chair, there was a slight mix-up in direction, and it's being copied. There's a generic amendment that's being copied right now as we speak.
Okay.
It should be here momentarily.
All right. Well, everyone's trying to get things done really quickly today, and I appreciate that. Well, Senator Fredrickson, maybe we should set this aside for a moment.
Madam Chair, I was going to ask how long it'll be till the amendment's here, because I could explain the amendment.
Madam Chair, it's
just
being copied
minutes?
Right now.
All right.
Just
well, go ahead. Senator Fredrickson, why don't you explain it?
Madam Chair, members, we have around in Minnesota maybe some of the best environmental learning centers in the United States. Several of them are residential environmental learning centers. They have an environmental curriculum for primarily K-12 students, primarily junior high and high school. They have sleeping quarters at those environmental learning centers. And typically, a typical one might be a bunk room with four bunk beds. Eight youngsters can sleep there while they're at the Environmental Learning Center. In the off season, they will use those same bunk rooms for adults. But typically, adults don't like to use all of the bunk beds. Don't like to use the upper levels of the bunk beds. So they'll just have four adults in those rooms, but they get into a problem where they have college students in an environmental program. The college students don't mind using all the bunk beds, so they'll have eight rather than four individuals in those bunk rooms, and unfortunately that runs into trouble with the Department of Health and their housing code. So Senator Lori has worked out a compromise or worked out a solution with the Department of Health, and I'll read it to you. I don't know if it's been distributed yet, but during the time the center is used for educational programs offered in conjunction with a college or university, the rules and standards related to space requirements are governed by Section 144.74, which is in the Department of Health, and that allows the Commissioner of Health to adopt and enforce reasonable rules and standards as the commissioner deems necessary. That allows the environmental learning centers to continue their program for college students. It also allows the commissioner of health to make sure that those are adequate facilities.
All right. Senator Lori, did you want to add anything?
No, Senator Fredrickson did a very good job of explaining it. It was really an issue where the Department of Health found some issues that they would like to resolve regarding existing uses and thought that they really needed the legislature to be a little bit more explicit about the space uses at these environmental learning centers. And it was viewed as a real threat by some of our ELCs in their current operating practices. And so this is a bill that – this is a structure that allows the ELCs to continue their operations – but still allows the Department of Health the ability to fully regulate and ensure safety.
Mm-hmm. This is okay. I'd move the dash one amendment.
It occurs to me that the elder hostel programs are offered in conjunction with a college or university, and so you might have some adults who aren't college students who would be affected by this. Is that a problem or not?
Well, it wouldn't be a problem because they don't send the elders up into the top bunks.
No.
And they
they don't
use more than four. Uh-huh. When we're talking about, adults that have been adults for some time, they don't want to climb into the top bunks. And they're never used, they never have more than four people in one of these rooms outside of these college programs that are a major piece of the business that they do.
Sure.
And so they don't have any problem with the Department of Health is good with this, and the ELCs, it gives them the opportunity to continue running their college-based programs.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, is there any discussion on the RER 2008 R-1 amendment? All right. Senator Frederickson moves the amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion prevails.
Chair, I move that Senate File 3056 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the full committee.
Any further discussion on Senator Frederickson's motion? Would anyone else like to be heard on this bill? Hearing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion prevails.
Chair members, thank you.
All right. Senator Dibble, we're still waiting for your amendment. Okay, let's do Senator Saxhog. Let's take your Senator Saxhog moves that Senate File 2651 be taken from the table. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion prevails. Senator Saxhog, again, this is like Senator Mary Olson's bill. This is the forestry bill that we did pass as a committee and incorporated into the finance bill that we passed out last week. And Senator Saxhog would like the opportunity to move the policy language forward as a separate bill. And pardon me?
Only a part of it was incorporated.
Oh, okay, that's right. Only part of the policy was incorporated into the finance bill. So do we have an amendment to take out the appropriations?
Well, Madam Chair, I have the A2 amendment.
All right, the A2 amendment. Senator Saxhog, do you want to give us 30 seconds again
sure.
on this bill?
The A2 amendment has two deletions and two additions. We're deleting the $50,000 appropriation for the fragmentation study that was picked up in the chairman's articles in Senator Cohen's bill. And then we are also deleting the section that has the blank appropriation for the Minnesota Forest for the Future Revolving Account because we don't have any money. So those are the two things that are taken out. The other two sections of the amendment are two Senate files that I introduced and were included in Senator Shidery's environment policy bill. Senator Shidery has graciously allowed that we could put them in this bill also. And the first section I'm adding is Senate File 2976, which relates to recording state forest roads. And the second section we are adding is 2648, which relates to the creation of conservation easements in counties with 80% of their pre-settlement wetlands. Both of these provisions are relevant to Senate File 2651, which we've discussed. The road section will help access issues, and the wetlands section will help create conservation easements in forests that are in wetlands. So I have people from the DNR and Bowser here. If you need any additional testimony on those two bills.
Senator Saxhog, were these two bills heard in the Environment Policy Committee as separate bills? Yes, they were? Okay.
Yeah.
On that, and those are that's the language incorporated in the A2 amendment. Are there questions on the A2 amendment?
Madam Chair.
Senator Shadri.
Senator Saxhog, did you find out anything on that appeals issue?
That was on the wetlands.
Appeals may be filed only by property owners who are directly affected by a proposed map designation.
Is that in the forest roads?
Okay.
Welcome to the committee. Mr. Tomlinson.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Bob Tomlinson with the Division of Forestry. We did check into that back in the department after that came up in the policy committee. And as I recall, we agreed that, and I talked about this with Senator Frederickson, by the way, as well, that it was best to leave the language as it was, that this provided for a better avenue for the public, if you will, to bring new information to the table in an appeal type of a situation than it would otherwise, than the other direction that it was being proposed. So the consensus was that we'd be best off to leave the language the way it was written.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Tomlinson?
Madam Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Tomlinson, my question was regarding the change from a person being able to appeal a decision, changing that to only a property owner along the proposed map designation being able to file an appeal. What was the reasoning behind that?
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, we felt that the property owner is the actual one, is the person that we want doing the appeal. I think that as it was originally drafted, that may not have been as clear. That it has to be the property owner and not somebody else on behalf of the property owner, perhaps.
Madam Chair, Mr. Tomlinson, in current practice, has there ever been a non-property owner along the proposed map designation that has filed an appeal?
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, we have not had any appeals with the current process at this point.
I see. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion on the A2 amendment? Hearing none, Senator Saxhog renews his motion for the A2 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Senator, Madam Chair, I have an A5 amendment. It's what we referred to before. It was proposed by Senator Lori and includes discussion on the Cloquet Area Forestry Office that we were just talking about.
Different amendment. Thank you.
Same amendment, different bill.
But it's a different number for a different bill.
It would probably just be as easy to read, and then we can discuss it and vote up or down or whatever. If the Commissioner of Natural Resources relocates the Northeast Regional Forestry Office that is currently located in Cloquet, the Commissioner shall relocate the office to a location within a five-mile radius of the city of Cloquet.
All right. Senator Lori, did you want to speak to that amendment briefly?
I sure could. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. Senator Bach also mentioned there's some very needed economic development right in that corner of Interstate 35 and Highway 33. There's actually four big box stores looking at going in there. And the DNR has a chunk of the prime real estate that the city would very much like to be able to acquire to allow this economic development. But at the same time, we want to do it in such a manner as to make sure that we keep our DNR employees in the region. They do a very good job for us, and there's been a significant amount of concern regarding the ability to just pull them out of our region then.
Mr. Meyer, does anyone from the DNR wish to speak to the amendment?
Madam Chair, members, again, Bob Meyer, Commissioner, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. We have spoke with Senator Lowry about this. The concern that we have is not relocating those people in that area, but the five-mile radius that is in the amendment right now. As we spoke of previously, our intent is to make sure our people are located where their work are and that we have co-divisional or joint divisional facilities or we're located with other units of government to reduce our operating costs. Right now we're looking at if this transaction does take place at some point in time, perhaps officing our forestry staff at the Cloquet Forest Resource Center, at the Cloquet University facility there. I'm assuming that's within 5 miles, but to begin It may or may not be. I'm not sure what it is. But to begin this type of amendment, it will lead us to a bunch of – I can just pass these out for committee. This is a map of all of our facility locations. Either session law or statute law will quickly become cluttered saying we can or cannot have people located within X miles of certain facilities. So we do understand Senator Lori's intent. We look forward to working with him on the relocation of these employees. But – We do have concern about this kind of precedent being put into session law or statute, Madam Chair.
Mr. Meyer, are there any? Have we ever passed a provision like this before that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of, Madam Chair.
All right. So I'm not sure if the slippery slope argument occurs here or not. I don't know if there's a lot of other situations where this would come up. Are those other locations you mentioned, are they within the city limits of Cloquet?
Madam
no?
Chair, no.
Okay.
The forestry station is probably, I don't know, it's within 10 miles, I would say. I'm not sure if it's within 5. The other possibility would be look at the Carlton County Highway facility there. It's an exit down, mm-hmm. and on the right or the east of the highway there on 35. But I think we can work with the author of the amendment to come up with a reasonable solution so we do not need to put this in law at some point in time before session ends.
All right. Questions from the committee? Senator Bach.
I'm sure I think I can improve it a little bit.
All right. We're all ears.
What I'm concerned about, Senator Saxog and Senator Lurie, is I understand there's probably a higher and better use of that piece of land than for the DNR. But the language says if the Commissioner of Natural Resources relocates the office, if. So under this language, they could just simply close that office and not relocate it. That's my concern. And that, whether that's what the department wants to do or not, I don't know, but Senator Lurie, I think you need to be aware of the fact that this says if the commissioner relocates the office, which they may make a decision uh-huh. not to do.
So, Senator Bach, are you suggesting it should say if they close the office or something like that? Or
I think, Madam Chair, somewhere it needs to say shall mm-hmm. relocate within, I think 10 miles is probably better than 5. But I think the way this is worded, and I think it's currently within the department's authority to simply close the office mm-hmm. and tell the forestry people, well, your jobs are in Grand Rapids or yours are in Moose Lake or wherever. And I hope that's not their intent, but I do think this amendment doesn't help that. I think it's well-intentioned by Senator Lurie and Saxog, but I don't think it quite does what they would like to do.
Senator Lurie?
That doggone house drafting. I think that on line 1.4, if we replaced relocates with closes, so that if the commissioner closes the Northeast Forestry Center, the commissioner shall relocate the office to a location within, and 10 miles would be a friendly amendment, too. I think that would get at Senator Bach's concerns, which are well-founded. And
or Senator Lurie, I guess you could say relocates or closes to sort of to cover all your bases there. Senator Saxog, do you want to?
Madam Chair, I'd move that we insert for relocates or closes and and instead of a 5-mile radius, put it at a 10-mile radius.
Okay. All right. Senator Saxog, on Senator Saxog's amendment to the amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Mr. Meyer, I guess we've heard you clearly that you'd rather this language doesn't go on, but if it does go on, I assume Senator Lurie will continue to talk with you and see if we can reach accommodation on this. All right. He's nodding. Yeah.
Madam Chair, then I would move that 2651 as amended be passed.
Well, we got to adopt the A5.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. We just amended the amendment. So Senator Saxog moves the A5 amendment as amended. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion does prevail. All right. Senator Saxog.
So, Madam Chair, I would move that Senate File 2651 as amended be passed and sent to the full Finance Committee.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Okay. We're moving right along here, members. Oh, Senator Dibble's ready? Okay, let's go. So we have a nice plan here to bring a bunch of really good ideas together. And Senator Dibble, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess you'll have to take my bill off the table, which is Senate File 3096, You should have a committee engrossment, CE1.
Okay. Senator, let's see.
Okay. Madam Chair, the CE1.
Senator Dibble moves that Senate file 3096 be taken from the table.
I can't make that motion.
I'm sorry. Senator Dibble doesn't move that. Senator Torres Ray makes that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion fails. Members, you'll remember that we had a full, extensive hearing and discussion on both Senator Dibble's bill and Senator Rosen's bill. And maybe you could give us a one-sentence reminder of what your bill does.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My bill allows local units of government to participate in lease purchase financing for the purpose of making energy efficiency improvements to the buildings that they own. It also allows state buildings to participate in this financing. And with local units of government, it provides a mechanism to ensure that there's a positive cash flow on the repayment of that financing. It envisions that the kinds of improvements made are those that have a relatively quick return on the expenditure with some fairly simple to implement modifications to those buildings. So weatherization sorts of improvements, not the major sorts of energy efficiency, high dollar, long payout sorts of projects that we find in other kinds of financing tools and mechanisms.
Okay. All right. So that is the bill then we have in front of us is 3096 CE1, which is the committee engrossment, after we heard Senator Dibble's bill and made some amendments to it. That's what we have in front of us now, members. All right, Senator Dibble, do you have amendments to that?
Yes, Madam Chair. The first one, I'd like to offer an oral amendment, if I may. It's on page 5, line 31. I'd like to insert after school district, comma, the two words park district.
Park district?
Yep, and Madam Chair, that comes at the request of the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. They would like to be able to participate. They're quite a large local unit of government themselves, own a lot of buildings, and would like to be able to participate in this.
Okay, so that would allow park districts to participate in the program of energy efficiency improvement. So Senator Torres Ray, or Senator Rummel, you're looking at me. Would you move the Senator Dibble's oral amendment? Does everyone understand the amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
And then, Madam Chair, I have the A10 amendment.
Thank you.
And I'll describe it as it's coming around. Madam Chair, this is has to do with allowing geothermal energy improvements to be qualified projects to make use of this financing. And this, Madam Chair, was crafted this afternoon in consultation with Senator Kubley, who has Senate File 904, but was looking for ways of giving that bill some life absent the availability of general fund appropriation dollars. And
Senator Kubley, anything you'd like to add to that?
Well,
discussion?
I would just, I would speak in favor of the amendment, Madam Chair, just to take a look at making geothermal energy as a real viable option for local units of government.
And this would also allow the state Senator projects. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Thank you. This would allow the state projects to also consider
That's
geothermal
correct.
as one of their improvements.
All right. Is there any discussion on the A10 amendment? Okay. Senator Kubley moves the A10 amendment.
I move the A10 amendment, Madam Chair.
Great. And members, you can see we spent some time talking about these various bills in the committee and figured out a way to keep them moving together as in a combination form that brings out the best of all of them. So Senator Kubley's A10 amendment, if there's no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. All right.
Madam Chair, I have the A8 amendment.
I guess that's coming. We don't have A8. We have an A9 amendment. Would you take A9?
We can wait for...
Right, I have
A8. We have an A5 amendment. Thanks. Oh, this is Senator Rosen's bill, is the A9 amendment.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I have the A8.
You also have an A8
which is,
amendment?
Which is my Senate file 3093.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Council
I'm
does
sorry.
Have it. Okay, great. That's all right.
Just had a few amendments on this today.
All right. Well,
so, Madam Chair, I'll describe it. It's very simple. This is the language of another bill that I have. And this came at the request of the Minnesota Public Housing Authority. It's supported by Minnesota NARO, other public housing authorities, and local units of governance. And it simply allows the repayment of these larger energy efficiency improvement financing projects to be extended from 15 to 20 years. The simple reason is that housing and urban development programs are currently keyed to a 20-year payback, and state statute for some reason was constrained to only permitting local units of government to repay these on a 15-year basis. And so this allows, and this actually has to do with some of those larger types of energy improvements that I was describing that are and that are facilitated by and financed through more traditional energy service companies. And this allows for a longer amortization in order to do larger projects with a lower annual payback. And so it just simply extends from 15 to 20 years those energy service contracts. Has some technical language having to do with final acceptance and that sort of thing. That's merely technical.
And where is this bill now? Is this on the floor or is it a separate bill?
Yes, Madam Chair.
So it's passed committees, the relevant committees.
Yes.
All right. We're sort of creating a mini omnibus bill here, which is
mini omnibus fine. Energy improvement financing bill.
All right. Is there any further discussion on the A8 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
And then, Madam Chair, we have the A9 amendment, which is Senator Rosen's bill with a few little changes. And it also, I should just make note for the record that this also accommodates geothermal energy projects. With that, I'll let Senator Rosen present her bill.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. You did hear this bill. That's the microenergy loan program where the state would authorize $20 million in revenue bonds. That would be for low-interest, long-term funding for local units of government. And as Senator Dibble says, it does include solar, thermal, water heating, solar electric, small wind up to 250 kilowatts, geothermal, anaerobic gas digesters, and micro hydro systems up to 100 kilowatts. And we did tighten up the language dealing with the Housing Finance Agency to make sure we piggyback on some of those loans. We did broaden the units of local, the definition of local units of government, and we did tighten up the criteria for the loans also. And it does, the Office of Energy Security is perfectly fine with this move to amended it to Senator Dibble's bill.
Great. And committee members, this bill is, this is the governor's initiative, and it's running into a little bit of a roadblock in the other body, so we thought it would be helpful. I think it's a very good bill, and we thought it would be helpful to amend it onto Senator Dibble's bill so it can live to see another day.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
So it's that time of year. So is there any discussion then on the A9 amendment, which represents Senator Rosen's bill? All right. Senator, would someone like to move that? Senator Rummel moves the adoption of the A9 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
And Senator Dibble, do you have one more amendment?
I think that's it, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Move the A10, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure I had the A10, the A9, the A8, and then
my oral amendment.
And Senator Dibble, I talked to you briefly about this, and I talked with Mr. Bull and, or with, yeah, I think, and Mr. DeFebre about, you know, kind of trying to, there's some really good ideas in both of these bills, and trying to sort of bring them together makes a lot of logical sense, too, because there's a lot of overlap, and they're just different ways of providing financing opportunities to do a lot of similar kinds of improvements, whether they be renewable or efficiency. And so the last piece that I want to see happen is work with our utilities and lenders to figure out how we can kind of do a lease purchase idea for homeowners so that we can we can pay off our energy efficiency and renewable improvements to our homes using our energy bills as, you know, as the financing mechanism. And I'm not sure if that quite is reflected in these bills, but we have to work with the utilities on that idea. So that's kind of my personal goal, to add on to this idea. So we'll get there. Haven't had a chance to really have those conversations. But I see some heads nodding, so thank you. We'll get there. All right. Would someone like to move Senator Dibble's bill? Senator Rummel. All right. And Senator Dill. But first, Senator Rummel, we'll put your name on it, moves that Senate File 3096 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Committee on Finance. If there's no further discussion, would anyone else like to be heard on this bill? Okay, people are getting up and leaving, so it must be okay. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
And we just have one bill left, member, so thank you for moving things quickly. I know everybody is hungry and thirsty and wants to go have dinner. So we're moving right along here. The last bill we have is Senator Kubley's bill, Senate File 2749.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Senate File 2749 came about as an idea last year that a few of us discussed that might help people who wanted to develop small wind generation facilities to gain access to the materials that were necessary to develop those systems. And so we looked at the possibility of the state initially serving as an aggregation source for people that wanted, say, just one or two turbines but had trouble finding a manufacturer that would actually take their order, since they were had such a small order. And, you know, they seem to be taking orders only for 10 turbines or more right now. But, you know, I know the cost of them has gone up quite a bit too, Madam Chair. But Mr. Bull visited with me about the possibility of moving it to another source. And there is a funding mechanism, Madam Chair and members, on the A2 amendment, if we could have that passed out, you know, that just looks at and instead of depending on the general fund, which is not exactly having an excess of dollars this year, it would move it to another source and look at that next-gen source that's listed on the amendment. So, Madam Chair, you know, I'd move the A2 amendment, and then the bill would be in shape.
Right. Senator Kubley moves the A2 amendment, which is coming around right now, which makes it clear that the $100,000 would come from the next-gen grants that were appropriated last year to the Department of Commerce for renewable energy research. And I think that's a very appropriate use of those dollars as well. Do you have a copy of it now, Senator Kubley?
I have a copy.
Okay. Yeah. On the amendment, any further discussion on the A2 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Are there any questions on Senator Kubley's bill? All right. Senator Kubley moves that Senate File 2749 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Finance Committee. Is there anyone else who'd like to be heard on this bill? All right. Hearing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Members, thank you. We did very good work today. We're just trying to wrap up the remainder of what's in our division that is non-general fund, and I think we've found some good solutions to a lot of these good proposals. And there's just a few bills left,
including Senator Chaudhry's omnibus environment bill and a couple of other bills that will – Senator Bickerman has a bill. We'll get those – we're now scheduled for Thursday at our regular committee time, I think, but we're very likely to be bumped. And so if we get bumped, we'll probably reschedule till next Tuesday, and then we'll try to finish our committee work. All right. With that, the committee's adjourned.